Blog Talk Radio.
I've got another confession to make.
Saturday night, you're listening to Bad Company with Grey Eyes Smith. And tonight's show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. We have anthologies available on amazon.com under the same moniker, so feel free to check those out and help support these shows. That said, tonight's show is based on a contest that Lee Wildove and myself ran called Your Best Poem of 2023. So that's, and some open poetry as well. All right, so I'm going to go to the studio here real quick and see who we've got. Okay. Hi, Weaver. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, Gray. Sorry, my mic was pointing up in the air. Good evening.
Great to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, I'm going to post the first poem here. And if you wouldn't mind giving this a read, Weaver, that would be great.
Yeah, no problem. Just going to see if I can get it to appear. You know, my PC. Come on. We could be here a while. Yeah. We've just started and it's playing me up. I don't believe it. Okay, let's try some more. You even get a little song. This is so odd. I'm so sorry. It's been playing up for ages. Have I got it now? Yes. Nope. Could you post it again for me, love?
Sure.
I just cannot find it.
There you go.
Is it Duress of the Wilds?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, got it. Hopefully it's just a bit of a teething trouble. Maybe it needs to warm up like these old tellies. Duress of the World and Where the Were-Guild Was Paid. Oh, nice picture. Shadows slide from the January sky into gangly fingers which climb black. Smears of carmine erupts the forest voids like the aperture of my eye, searching for blue horizons of a dreamt far hope. Sometimes we ponder in fear of failure how long we've been awake, continuing to walk an unmanned path through the unknown lands into nightmares frozen and forgotten, swallowed by the sun. Dismembered beneath the old Ozai tree, separated his head from body and feet scattered along where the river forks east. Ghosts hide their silent screaming face, smeared across the heavens in violent gales of alabaster tears beyond the pale, which birth from vengeance, Acoustus heart, Apollo and broken laminations, perceived as well by dear Horatio, swallowed by the cold. Final words which plead to my weary mind, sit down, stay a while, and rest easy, as the snow beneath my feet becomes deep, embraced in the duress of the wilds as it clamors for the flesh of all men, to claim our guilt for how we were betrayed, all that we once were, all that we became. Nobody knows how long the hunger goes when feeding upon your own guilty self, swallowed by the world. End poem.
That was a fantastic read. And I like the poem. You know, it's definitely different and takes you on a journey through this man's mind and his thought process, you know. I really like the last stanza. Final words which plead to my weary mind, sit down, stay a while, and rest easy, as the snow beneath my feet comes deep, entranced in the duress of the wilds, as it clamors for the flesh of all men, to claim Were-Guild for how we have betrayed all that we once were, all that we became. Nobody knows how long this hunger goes, feeding upon our own guilty self, swallowed by the world. You know, it's a haunting poem. Really has a lot of detail in it as well. I thought it was fantastically penned. What did you think, Katie?
I agree totally. It was nice to read. I'm sorry I stumbled a couple of times, but I'm afraid that does happen occasionally, especially if I come across a word I'm not sure of. You know what it's like. But I thought it was wonderful. You see that picture on your TV, shadows, shadow slides from the January sky into gangly fingers, which climb the black. Smears of carmine erupt the forest voids like the aperture of my eye, searching for blue horizons. Yes, this is a lovely piece of poetry. I really enjoyed it. You can actually feel the cold, and you can feel the worry and the fear of failure in the words themselves. It's just very well written. Alabaster tears beyond the pale. Now, I like that. That's a lovely line. But yes, very well done. Thank you.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Weaver. Thank you. All right, so I've got the next read up, and this is called Roadkill by Finally. I think my car is quite possessed, a mechanical spirit of angry girl, of an angry girl who seeks sometimes a sacrifice. This morning, offering a pancake squirrel, which seems to be her favorite. Rabbits, too, but not as frequent. They all go down with a small bump, 3-year kill score, ticking up. Once we hit a crow, who kamikaze across her grill. Startled, I turned around. Maybe it wasn't quite dead. I thought, maybe I could help. I thought, but from the treetops, shades of Hitchcock, 100 crows cursed both car and the murder, cried out, murder. So we drove away, but her engine purred. Maybe she used to be a city car, out of sorts on these country roads, and she longs for the hustle bustle and slams of squealing tires and traffic jams. Perhaps the offhand chance for an ambling pedestrian or slow jaywalker. Driving now on my way, I note a crumpled doe beside the road, the cant of his neck, the dead stare fixed on open flank and belly bloated. A cyclone of flies rise as we pass from out of the goo of that poor deer's ass. I wonder what the other car wanted. Well, that was descriptive and kind of gnarly in its descriptive nature. This car that's possessed is causing many victims on the side of the road, which is, you know, a haunting imagery as well. But, you know, I really liked, maybe she used to be a city car out of sorts on these country roads, and she longs for the hustle and bustle and slams of screaming tires and traffic jams. Perhaps the offhand chance for an ambling pedestrian or slow jaywalker. Wow. Fantastic, right? Finally. What did you think, Katie?
I liked it a lot. I thought it was really, it was spooky. You know, you're thinking of this mechanical spirit of an angry girl who basically just wants to kill. Doesn't want, you know, she's not going to work her way up to humans, I don't think. I think it's just whatever happens to be there. This morning's offering a panicked squirrel, which seems to be her favorite. Rabbits too, but not as frequent. They all go down with a small bump bump. 3-year kill score ticking up. It, very clever, very inventive. I didn't have a look at the AN. Was it a particular contest? Oh, best, of course it's this contest. Oh, I'm such a fool. Yes, beautifully done. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem in the group. We have a SoundCloud for this one. So I'll play that. This is called Starlight Nocturne by the poet.
A starlight nocturne. In the liquid crystalline silver starlight, I bathe in the light of a full silver moon, watching the night sky, enchanted by its serene and calming ease. Cool and fresh on my skin and in my ardent lungs. It does. With its coolness fill, the air is filled with the scent of night jasmine, the songs of frogs on the water and crickets envelop the area inferior music.
Well, she did a fantastic read on her poem. But I like her poem, you know, it really takes you into the moment of this starlight nocturne and the music that's played by the wildlife there. And it was beautifully read, but its beauty is serene and calming it is. The air is cool and fresh on my skin and in my ardent lungs. It does with its coolness fill the air. It's filled with the scent of night jasmine. Yeah, just beautiful. You can almost smell the jasmine. What did you think, Katie?
Yes, it was lovely, wasn't it? It was very gentle, beautifully worded. I liked it. Some lovely little lines there. I do like in the liquid crystalline silver starlight. Well, that's nice, because I tend to love to call moonlight silver. So this is going like three times better. So good. I bathe in the light of a full silver moon, watching the night sky enchanted by its, night sky enchanted by its beauty. It's serene and calming it is. It is very, if you're in the mood to be relaxed and, you know, you just go and sit outside, let the moonlight hit you. Wonderful. Yeah, so I thought it was very well written and beautifully neat and gentle. Well, thank you very much for sharing.
Absolutely. Thank you, Katie. Okay, so I'm going to post the next poem here. And if you wouldn't mind giving us a read when you see it.
Sorry, yeah, I was muted. Can you? Right, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Oh, good. Yeah. I had it upside down and I just kept putting myself on mute instead of opening it up. What a plonker. Okay, Ben Hart. Blue Opium Stories. One Mantis. In Sunflower City, the towers keep turning as long as the sun keeps burning. And after everybody toots, the poet sets out on their search for something deep. Praying mantis biting off the heads of the lovers he shouldn't have tells the spiders how to weave their webs. Doesn't listen to their pleas, but they did their best. Evade his hollow loving eyes, be free to pray your own way and roam the golden streets he built from your pain, paving over the debts he has the poet seek. He is hunger, he'll always be less. Surviving on the pity of Sunflower City, and so he is hunter, and so he is death. At indigo hour dies the day. Here comes the wave to wash him away, dragging all the Sunflower City with him down into the grave. 2. Midnight Surrender and Blue Opium. The last memory keeping me alive is you calling my name in the street upon my leaving. The last time you invaded the midnight haze that had already come between you and the one who knew the right words about misery. My loving surrender let you in on my secrets I hid in my spleen. I watched your opium eyes slowly blue, and I could feel it. You're not coming with me. Your answer stole the image from your two favorite mirrors, and your invasion receded. Traded beauty's peripheries for something blinding. A memory of me leaving, when you calling my name in the street, was once my favorite sound. Blue opium eyes that couldn't fall in love with what they'd found. 3. False refuge and loving collapse. Summer makes up the distance. Every mirage is morose when the moment lets go and you chase static to the point where it flees from existence. Still unable to satisfy a soul that is beaten into admitting defeat, with one last lie of refuge at last. At each winter, deceit is the white lie of warmth, a loving kiss goodbye to put an empty mind at ease. That's okay to collapse upon her lips retreating. 4, The Priest and the Thief. Old Man E, chewing poppy tobacco, tears between teeth, and so he is wisdom, and so he is grief. And so he is telling me, fight for all you believe in, all you are meant to set free. He is the priest of this floral cathedral, praying at the altar of cerebral defeat, preaching the faith before he forgets there's still someone left to seek. With the eyes of the blind ever find a way back from the shadow. Two suffering satellites in Van Gogh's favourite meadow, waiting for dawn's call to rise, as poor Vincent braids starry nights. 5, The Diver and the Dream. Eyes only accepted the dark from far from anywhere warmth had ever been, and the first thing I saw was a beautiful someone soothing the seas. So they could quietly drown a poor pearl diver's dream of the one out of reach. A crowned child shining the pearlescent crescent who fell in love with the earth. Still adrift, a passenger on a voyage of hurt in an ocean of woe with nowhere to go but deeper down, deeper below. He watches the rocket men get to her first. End poem.
Wonderful read, and I like the storyline, you know, it really takes you on this journey through life, love, and losing that love, and watching the Rocket Man get to her burst from below. It was definitely a powerfully written poem. At Indigo Hour dies the day, here comes the wave to wash him away, dragging all of Sunflower City down with him into the grave. I mean, that's pretty epic. And then each stanza really stands on its own, as its own storyline, as he mentioned in his author's notes. And, you know, each one is fantastic, and it's imaginative, and it's deeply engaging throughout. What did you think, Katie?
Yes, this is definitely powerful and deep. An awful lot of work has gone into this, and yet it doesn't feel like it has. It feels very easy. It's only easy to read, apart from when I stumble. I do apologize. But I mean, the stanza, you couldn't pick one out to say. There were so many of them. But a crowned child shining the pearlescent crescent who fell in love with earth, still adrift a passenger on the voyage of heart. Ah, lovely. That's so nice. So from this I'm getting a big, long story, which I will have to look into again, because I was reading it, but not actually reading it. Difficult to take things in when you're the one who's reading it. So all I can say at this point is I thought it was very, very well done, beautifully put together, and very neat and tidy and slow-flowing, which is great to read. Didn't have to speed up.
Absolutely. But yeah, you know, I agree with Stelina's comment. It is a stunning write, and her favorite artist is Van Gogh, and she appreciates those lines. They're equally eloquent, but all lines are equally eloquent and well-crafted. Ben is a true artist in every way, and I agree with her on that, totally. All right, I'm going to welcome on another caller here. Hello, area code 703. Is that you, Bobby?
You're so formal. My goodness. I thought we were on a first name basis. I know it's been a while.
Bobby. Welcome
Hi.
To the show.
How's it? Thank you. I missed you guys.
Yeah, missed you too. It's great to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Did you get a chance to hear that last?
No, I didn't, and what's the pity? I was looking for it. What's the title of it?
It's called, hold on. I'm going to post it in a group here. Blue Opium Story by Ben Hart.
Okay. I definitely, from the sounds of it, it's something I should go back and reread. But I've had a rugged beginning in my year, so that's kind of why I've not been around much.
Has it been bad or has it been good?
It was my cat.
I'm so sorry.
It happens. I had her for 17 years, which it ain't a bad run, but, you know, it's when they get down toward the end, every waking minute you can be with them, you are, you know.
Yes.
Everything else is in the backseat. So she's gone now, and I've got my one left, and so here I am, back among the living. Yes, they do, but you know what? It is a part of the cycle of life, and it's going through it, it's getting past it, and it's the only thing. So I that night I sat down, and that's one of the only I've only written three things this year so far, and one of them I wrote was Goodbye Angel, Goodbye Sweet Angel, and I wrote it that night that she died. So, and don't ask me to read it, please. You'd have a flood on your hands.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
But I miss you guys, and I realized what day it was and what time it was, and I thought, what better way to spend my evening than with amongst my favorite fellow poets.
Lovely. That's lovely. Nice. Thank you. Great to hear.
We love you, brother.
I haven't written much, but I have one thing I can throw it. It's a brevity. And I haven't done much, but I can throw a brevity on the board if you'd like. But it looks like you've got a bunch of stuff already.
Yeah, sure, for the open poetry part, yeah, you bet.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, great, thank you.
Yeah.
But I've got the next read up, if you wouldn't mind reading, Bobby.
You kidding? You know how to look for that. I can't get enough of my voice.
Yeah.
I'm being a smart ass. I'm trying to get back into the swing of things here. Okay. It's in a fine inbox. Here we go. There we are. Is it My Prayer by Liquid Mind Forever?
Yes.
Oh, good. Good, good. I like their work. Okay. Great, great work. Okay. My Prayer, ABC. We have an acrostic here. Like by Liquid Mind Forever. Great nom de plume. After day and night meeting in silence, before war cries and more violence, caution signals a silent warning, delivering time bombs without harming. Eventually, all must lie alone and wait, forfeiting all hate, surrendering their fate. Garments of flesh no longer important, heavy burdens soon to lie dormant. Intrepid the soul who faces its faults, journeys inward where keys to the vaults. Kinesthetically embraces thought and deed, languid and tasting eternity's need. Mortgages paid off, price for devotion, no low contender, the fee for promotion. Offertory submission, bread and wine. Pardon for sins, heart and soul align. Quagmires and potholes left behind, relinquished with no thought in mind. Solace arises from the core of being, transcendence as the ego's fleeing. Unimaginable the peace there inside. Vanquished all thought, let spirit reside. Withholding naught, the third eye emerges, x-ray vision is wrought, passion submerges. Yes, after, before, soul lies in silence. Zen opens the void, but there's no more avoidance. End poem.
Wonderful read, Bobby. I really liked it.
Yeah,
you know, she really nailed it.
Right there, like that, kinesthetically.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. You know, it definitely has an acrostic to it, but you wouldn't notice that if you were just listening to it being read. It has such flow, and you know, there's beauty in the lines of this prayer. You know, you can feel the love and the intent of this rite, and that is finding peace in your soul, and you know, where the flesh matters not. And I thought it was just a beautiful rite. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, I agree. I do love an acrostic, and it's so much better when you don't notice it. This one just seemed to be perfect lines for the letter they had to use. It was no, you know, it wasn't a case of struggling. It didn't seem to struggle. It was just there so beautifully. I thought it was incredibly clever, beautifully put together, though, that restriction you have of having to use a particular letter can make it a little bit more difficult. But no, this is just lovely, really. Very well done. And a great story, too. It all held together. So, yes, sir. Very much impressed by this Liquid Mind Forever. Very good.
Absolutely. Thank you, Katie. And Bobby, you read it. What did you think?
Oh, this is magnificent. On a number of levels, the skill of writing, the balance of the alphabetic acrostic, as Katie said, it is unobtrusive. It is so subtle that unless you are aware that it is an acrostic, an alphabet acrostic, it comes at you unheralded, just flows. The internal rhyme scheme, now that's impressive. She's got not only has she got the acrostic, but she's also pressed another format on this. She's got a rhyme scheme in here, an internal rhyme scheme, and in a couple of places I've noticed there's two rhymes. There's one in one line, and there's two in one line, and then two in the succeeding line. I mean, the skill of the writing in this, I mean, she must have really just, this is an amazing, amazing piece. I think I'm going to put this forward as an FPP, and I'm going to tuck it away in my final of my favorites. But and not only the format, but there's a message here. It's deeply philosophical. It's a layered cerebral piece. And if the reader hadn't tripped over a couple of words, it would have been much better. But seriously, it has a deeply philosophical meaning. This is a top-notch piece on all levels. I mean, this is to be just, she already knew anything else next this year. I mean, this is something to be justifiably proud of. It's a great piece.
I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, I've got the next write-up. This is called by St. John 999, and it's called How John Got to Know Catherine, A Common Jelly for Storyline, Part 21. Bomb is now, ha-ha. John was quiet and thinking as he edged vehicle driver to pace and swerve in quiet, firm words. At the same time, his hands dipped inside the overcoat he wore. Their chase target was about 100 meters off and closing in on fast. As they touched about 30 meters, John's hand whipped out with lightning speed. A shining Colt was seen, and John took out a round fast enough, and he was cocking the shells in as vehicles were about side by side. Point Fu had also cocked his arm, which was state-of-the-art and sure to blast any brain out, and he was leaning a bit, taking a shot at unwary JR. JR had now pointed Colt at Point Fu and seemingly felt assured that he had Point Fu in range. Point Fu's vehicle shook up and down as it was lightweight car, and Point Fu barked to driver to lean ahead so that the weight and balance gets distributed. JR was a crack shot and very quick, and as soon as Point Fu's driver leaned ahead, John's Colt erupted, and the heavy bullet raced to target, and it found the sideburns of Point Fu's driver, who had unfortunately leaned just at that moment. The driver did not have time to even shriek or scream, but simply slumped on the driving wheel. And Point Fu's vehicle went haywire. Just then, one of John's company fired a small shot at the fuel tank of Point Fu's vehicle, and impact resulted in a small fire, and the vehicle turtled, and it was down adjacent slope. Jared's vehicle stopped and watched Point Boo and company slide down little boat, and they all jumped out, and Johnny firmly spoke, "Get them." One of John's team spoke, "Sir, not yet. All of them are armed, and they are yet, and they yet might be in a position to," but it was late as John was already descending the slope, looking for Point Boo, rather alone with his team, a good 25 paces behind. Author admires handsome John, who was a rare mix of immense wealth and capabilities and capacities of a paid assassin. And most assassins the globe over knew that taking of the life JR was not so easy at all, as it may result in return gift rather suddenly. In past four incidents, three assassins had been brutally returned with instant and gory deaths, with two of them being handiwork of JR and third ambushed by JR's men. No fifth assassin dared to take JR's assignment. With last known ticket size of a couple billion greenbacks, it was the accepting death for money. It was like accepting death for money. To be continued. End poem. And I really enjoyed it. You know, it had a wonderful visual flow to the right. You know, it definitely is a bit lengthy, but you know what story isn't. And you know, he had a great description of the case and the hunt for the target in mind. So I thought it was well penned and great to read. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, you read that very well. Yes, it was interesting to say the least. And the fact that there's a part two as well, that's great. But yes, I kind of got a little bit lost because there were a lot of characters that weren't actually named. I'm presuming that's because of that would have made it longer, perhaps. I don't know. But I did think the story was very interesting. So, the bullets are everywhere and the driver's got it. He's had it. Lovely. It was a great story. And I think I would be very happy to read part two as well when it comes out, St. John. So thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Thank you, Weaver. What did you think, Bobby?
I agree with Weaver. It had characters that I had trouble following. It seemed like it had a lot of action to it. But it almost felt to me like I'd walked into the middle of a movie. I wasn't quite sure what was going on or what.
Yeah.
But it certainly had a lot of action. I dare say if probably reading the entire piece from start to finish would be the read would benefit more from that, because certainly I don't think I could appreciate it fully just from an extract.
Yeah, exactly. No, I appreciate your comment, Bobby. Thank you. All right, Katie, you're up next to read, please.
Yes, thank you. No problem. I'll just try and get it. Bobby, I'm having real problems with my PC. I think it's getting old, like myself. Taking ages to get in. Oh, here we are. We've got it. Yay.
Maybe it needs vitamins.
Wouldn't surprise me. It's probably going to be better to give it vitamins than it is to throw against the wall, which is what I'm very tempted to do. And it's still not opening the poem. Honest to goodness. You wouldn't believe it, would you? Come on, you people, probably. Got it. I threaten it, you see, and that's what it's told. Enchanted Wood.
Yeah.
Right. Go through the old gate, tied with path and through the copse, looking, look all around, watch where you walk. As soon as the track suddenly drops, and as you scramble down the hill, The trees all seem to close around. The air is still. It's darker now. Just dappled sunlight on the ground. But as your eyes adjust, you'll see the joys of nature everywhere. A bunch of toadstools, acorn cups, and buzzing insects in the air. Bright flowers dotted in their dells. Dry violets and celandines. Wild garlic with its spicy smell. Dark ivy leaves on twisted vines. And oh, the bluebells, what a sight. A carpet moving with the breeze. Their perfume fills the woodland air. Enough to make a fairy sneeze. Talking of fairies, can you see the glimmer of a pair of wings? Not all the creatures here are bugs. Sometimes you might see stranger things. My dear, this enchanted wood, an ancient place which the gods have blessed. A charm protects it from the world, lets in a few and bars the rest. So you are privileged, my friend, to wander in this sacred place, to witness magic here on earth. The gods must really like your face. The fairies flutter bolder now. They fly around, land on your arm. Their pretty faces raised in smiles. They're curious. They do no harm. Now listen, drifting through the trees, a sound that makes them up and fly. And as you fall, sure enough, you'll find a clearing by and by. The great god Pan is holding court and plays his pipes to entertain. The fairies and the woodland folk, who dart like moths around a flame, don't let him see you. Keep well hid. He's prone to temper and quite vain. If you invoke his angry side, you never will be seen again. The woods are safe for the most part, except a spot down by the lake, where once that magic spoiled the earth, and nothing goes, save for the mandrake. If you should linger in this place, you'll lose your mind, your memories, and spend your life in twilight's grip, just wandering for centuries. To get back home, go carefully. Follow the path from whence you came. Look out for symbols on the trees. The pathways can all look the same. But runic carvings lead the way, back up the hill and through the gate. Tie up the string, reset the charm. Enchanted woods once more awaits. End poem.
Wonderful read, Weaver. And I like the poem. You know, it really takes you on this journey through this enchanted wood. Whereas your eyes adjust, you'll see the joys of nature everywhere. A bunch of toadstools, acorn cups, and buzzing insects in the air. Bright flowers dotted in their dells. Shy violets and celandines. Wild garlic. Spicy smell. Dark ivy leaves on twisted vines. I mean, you can picture all that and smell the forest in that. And then I really like the next stanza. And oh, the bluebells, what a sight, a carpet moving with the breeze. Their perfume fills the woodland air, enough to make a fairy sneeze. Talking of fairies, can you see the glimmer of a pair of wings? Not all creatures here are bugs. Sometimes you might see stranger things. Just a wonderful, wonderful journey through this enchanted forest and all that it presents. Just a wonderful, right? Beautifully read, Weaver. What did you think, Bobby?
Oh, I thought this was a delightful flight of fantasy. It's wonderfully embroidered with a lot of really detailed descriptions of the characters and of the surroundings. And I enjoy that level of detail. I think it makes for a very an enjoyable story for the reader, because it allows the reader to build in their mind what they're reading, and without making it too detailed. The great god Pan is holding court and plays his pipes to entertain the fairies and the woodland folk who dart like moths around a flame. And it's got a very subtle rhyming pattern and was a very nice use of assonance. I find it difficult to use assonance, because I've got such a rigidly structured mind that if it doesn't fall right into the rhyme scheme, my brain goes, no, that won't work. But this is, it does. It's maddening. I'm trying to get away from it. It's sort of like planting at 90-degree angles. It takes drugs and therapy and lots of training. This is nicely done. It's a great storytelling. Great storytelling. So it's a very enjoyable piece. I just wondered what the prompt was. Well, it looks like it's been in a number of contests and been well recognized. So I just I've got to wonder what the original inspiration for it was, because sometimes that gives you the most insight into the origin of a piece and what its soul is.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Bobby. And what did you think, Katie?
Oh yes, I like brevities. I've got used to brevities. I never would have written a brevity before I've joined AP, but when you have this amount of detail, you have a longer piece of poetry. It goes without saying. I don't know why I'm saying it, but what I mean is that you can put in the little touches, the little pointers towards the next stanza or whatever, and you can use that. You can use the length of it to really embroider your story with a lot of interest. So I liked it a lot. It was so descriptive. And as you say, Bobby, very, very gentle rhyme there, which, popped up occasionally. I thought it was really, really, and wild garlic and its spicy smell. I've always wanted to grow it, but I don't think I could live with that smell. Oh, anyway. Yes, beautifully, beautifully done. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. Okay, Bobby, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Not at all. Let me go to the correct tab. I'm wandering myself through. I have this one. Me at the computer reminds me of when I was a child at the toy box. I've got all kinds of tabs spread out all over the top of my computer, and I'm playing with all of them simultaneously. And my father used to come into my bedroom, see all the toys surrounding me, and he used to tell me I looked like I was building a nest.
Yeah.
So I found it, and here it is. Okay, let me open this. Is this... okay. Is it the Forgotten Bones and Growing Gray Tombs?
Yes,
right?
Thank you.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Great title. Of Forgotten Bones and Growing Gray Tombs by Blue Wright, 76. Round the days waited he guarding their gates awake. His turn to hope and die again, millions of them, bones buried. Bones even before the sand fell. Empty guts with bones and souls piled upon like stone and gravel. They await a century now and more, no one to claim their life and death. Those that fed millions of far and near, took the word of friends and lords, forced to cull food crops and dreams, raise the indigos and cottons, their divine sands they plowed that brought paper and coins to barter for porridge and the peas. When God, angry with greedy men, waters and winds left them alone, came the devils and danced on fields dry and arid, more as famine struck. Friends and lords turned away, for feeding those who fight wars, they took the peas and porridge. Those who fed, they forgot. As rice bags fell empty in number, skins hung and bones thinned, fell upon fields like seeds, all kernels and toughened manure, with our dying tigers and tidal forces. Forests, our motherland as world teetered, pitied, and went away. Never true to us farmers, came with their guns and boots, buried us like wasted leaves, not planted one by one proud as we did the paddy stalks. When they come now to dig and lay their factory of steel, wake them all to see the sunrise. Now, as the sun touched us fossils, we fly into eternity, starved spirits in search of heaven. World will again talk a while of farmers who perished in famine, when flying cars and silent friends, charismatic leaders who stood history, fed us fertilizers for colonies and wars, the hand that conquered culled us too with wasted coins and cash crops that can't be drunk or fed. Every 50 years or the century day, yes, talk of us again and titter. Yet forget the millions of us who fell, then go on to buy those green fields, build your huge gray tombs, bury your future within millions, and tomb the fields and farmers, forget your porridge and peas. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And, you know, this reminds me of, you know, life as it is right now. You know, we're building factories where there's farms, you know, and stealing the food from the people for the money and, you know, to send people off to war. And, you know, it really echoes the importance of our lands and our food supply and being able to keep these things in check, you know, so that we don't lose these farms and fields and these farmers that are on them. And, you know, so many farmers in India, you know, they had to fight the corporatization of their farms.
Yes.
And, you know,
yes.
There was just a big battle of that in India. And I think the farmers won their rights to farm, but you know they were going to lose their right to farm, as far as I know. And you know they were protesting it here in Surrey where I live because there's a lot of East Indians here, and so you know it really harkens to that fact to keep the farmers on their fields and keep the big corporations out of those farms and fields. So wonderful, right? And very topical for the day. What did you think, Katie?
Oh yes, this is but you know we have to think about this, don't we? The flight of people when things are going bad. Those who are nearest the breadline are the ones who suffer the most. But yeah, rich bags fell empty in number, skins hung and bones thinned. Fell upon fields like seeds, all kernels and toughened manure. Yes, it's not easy, not at all. And being, your land being taken and you can't use it must be awful. So yes, I think this was very spirited. It said what it wanted to say, complain loudly enough, things might happen and change. I would always hope so anyway. There shouldn't be any need for violence, just words. Yes, I like this line, this stanza anyway. Every 50 years or the century day, yes, talk of it again and titter, yet forget the millions of us who fell, then go on to buy those green fields. Yeah, that's a very sad indictment, isn't it? So I thought it was beautifully written. Well, thank you very much for sharing that with us.
Great comment, Weaver, thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
I think this is an absolutely stunning, powerful, epic poem of the extreme price paid by farmers for their farms, by soldiers for the ambitions of greedy men, and by humanity for the loss of its humanity.
Absolutely. Yeah, wonderful comment. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, I'm pasting the next poem into the group. This is called Twilight Spring by Lulu Gee. The sun across the vale hangs low. The skylarks hush their song. The ravens through the farmyard go. Yet dormouse tarries long. While magpies chatter side by side, the badger rolls with ease, with younglings roaming meadow wide, all sporting as they please. The coils of honeysuckle peep. The woodlark finds his mate. The ivy tendrils bed to creep where cobweb bounds the gate. Beneath the willow's leafy shade, where shadows shape the ground, as thoughts of winter start to fade, and daisy wreaths lie crowded, while in the gray now fading gleam, the moorhens dark as night, beside the needs and hidden, beside the reeds and hidden stream, chase mallards for delight. The robin in the myrtle tree croons long his wintered song to hurry spring's anemones, but dormouse tarries long. End poem. Well, that was beautiful and picturesque. You know, it really paints a wonderful scene of this meadow where these creatures live and their coming of spring, you know, and winter passing. And but I really like that. The dormouse tarries long, and she's got a picture of a dormouse all curled up on leaf. And so that was beautiful and wonderful, right? And fabulous to read it. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, you read that beautifully. There's so much in this. It's such a lovely piece of poetry. And that little dormouse is so cute. Yes, so this is obviously somebody hoping that spring won't be long. Because winter can take its toll. It's I've lost what I was going to say. Honestly, I should actually listen to myself sometimes. Beside the reeds and hidden streams, chase my lads for delight. The robin in the myrtle tree crooned long his wintered song. Oh, it's just a beautiful, gentle, lovely song, story about the movement of the seasons and what it means, especially on a farm. So, yeah, beautifully written. Very interesting as well. I've never heard of a myrtle tree. Or at least if I have, I haven't seen one. So thank you, Weaver. It was wonderful.
Absolutely. Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And, Bobby, what did you think?
Are you musicking?
I am. And I was being brilliant, damn it. I thought this was a very gentle, delicate piece. The picture of the dormouse is just absolutely priceless. I mean, to see a dormouse or a chickadee or a hedgehog reminds me that nature has its gentler moments, and you just can't help but feel touched by this tiny bit of life that you know exists. Sometimes around you, sometimes in spite of you. And the way this is written is with such a deep reverence of nature that I can't imagine this person existing anywhere but within nature. I think her soul would be bereft if she did not have this bit of nature to turn to. And she's expressed it so eloquently.
Absolutely, I agree wholeheartedly. That's a great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And I'm going to post your poem in a minute here, Weaver. All right. Sorry.
You get to go first. She likes you better.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to my sauce in Scott in so long.
It has been a long time. Definitely.
It has. You were going to come over for coffee the other day. What happened? You couldn't get a point?
I couldn't carry my suitcase. I put so much in it. That's what the problem was.
Well, there, I believe that. I have the same problem.
Yes. Yeah.
What to wear.
Yes. If you're in this country, you've got to have clothes for cold weather and hot weather. That's how bad it is. Gray, did I have a SoundCloud on this one, Gray?
You do, yes.
That's great. Good.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to play your SoundCloud here.
Moonlight has always been an ally until now. Softening my thoughts, relaxing my body. But as the sun sets, I am very aware that there is something waiting in the darkness. I feel heat and desire. Wanton thoughts skitter around my mind, not sensible nor sane. This is not me. There is fire in my blood. It speaks to me in soft, sensual murmurs. Synapses ricochet and spark as fireworks do. Then, as usual, when I see him, I remember all of it. How beautifully his pale skin shimmers, awakens my desire. The bloodlust I see in his eyes, I know is echoed in mine. One long, sharp talon cuts my wrist, then his own. As he sips my essence, I gorge myself on his. Every shade of magenta and pink pulses across my body, following the vampire blood coursing through my veins. I grasp his hair and kiss him, then hold him tight until every centimeter of our bodies touch. I'm aflame. I beg, take me now. But still, he only takes me halfway.
Wow, that was a beautiful read. And I really enjoyed the storyline. You know, it's dark, but it's beautiful at the same time. You know, you can feel the passion and the desire that you have for your vampiric lover. And, you know, every shade of magenta and pink pulses across my body, following the vampire blood coursing through my veins. I grasp his hair and kiss him then, hold him tight until every centimeter of our bodies touch. I'm aflame. I beg, take me, but still he only takes me halfway. Or take me now, but still he only takes me halfway. Yeah, that was just an epic rate on loving a vampire and the passion that is felt there. Beautiful rate. Thanks so much, Weaver, for sharing. And absolutely. Bobby, what did you think of the poem?
Well, I thought this was a very titillating storytelling. I love the subtle sensuality. There's such artfulness in being able to stimulate the senses without being gross. Or when I say gross, I don't mean grotesque gross. I mean gross in a broad brush sense. I think that the delicate brush strokes here and there give much more eloquence to the synapses, ricochet and spark fireworks do. I remember all of it, how beautifully pale his skin shimmers. Wonderful, rich flush with attention to detail, descriptions, great storytelling. Yes, I would. When I call you my saucy Scott, I'm not wrong. I liked it very much. I liked it very much.
Thank you. If I could just say, it sometimes gets away from me. I haven't written a sensual one for ages, and this just seemed to come to the fore, as it were.
Well, I predict that you weren't wearing your fuzzy warm socks when you wrote this, dear.
You're right.
You were barefoot. You were barefoot.
I would.
And you had a glass of red wine next to you.
Aha, uh-huh. Yes, you know me so well.
I think we sure do.
Yeah. So thank you for your kind comments. It was very, very good to hear them.
Absolutely. And what did you think of the poem? I mean, sorry, what do you have to say about your poem?
Well, basically, it was just an exercise in sensuality. That was it, really. I just wanted to know if I could still do it. But it was great.
Lovely.
Fun.
It was
well
done. Very lovely. The delicate touches are there. It's a delightful read. It's like I said, it is subtly erotic, which I think less being more gives it, with the title Halfway, still takes me halfway. I like the provocative ending. you leave the rest as an exercise for the reader, which I've always enjoyed.
Thank you. Yes. It can be very, very crude at times. And
yes.
Everybody can be crude at times, but I don't like that specific bit. I like to, as you say, titillate. It's great fun, and I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Bobby and Weaver. All right, so I've got the next poem up, and this is by Stelina, and it's called Love in Blue, and she has a SoundCloud, so I will play that.
Around midnight, I lie, my arms missing you, naked and abandoned, I yearn to be yours. A sultry sax stroking my senses, honey-tongued, speaking to me of love, like your deep, husky voice. On haunting notes of cool caresses, stirring as your steady syncopations fuse with the rhythmic, pulsating beat of the bass, as your smooth, surging fingers pull my strings, delicious dreams. Your paradise of passion, playing along with the growing groove, deeper and deeper, drowning in dulcet blues, drifting in sweet, soulful, strange seduction. Without the feel of you, there is no taboo for the improvisations of mind and its musing. My body, knowing yours so well, surrenders in midnight blue, velvet wide of vulnerability. Lamenting horns echo my lovesick limerence of your mellow magnetism that tugs my heart. Closing my eyes, I succumb to figmental scenes which gradually fade as the music dies.
Wow. She does such an amazing job on her SoundCloud, you know, with the music. It just flowed beautifully with her rate. I really enjoyed the title as well. Love in Blue, you know, it just really captures the essence of this musical note that is played in the background of her rate. But, you know, you can feel this passion and the sensuality throughout this rate, and it's quite beautiful. You know, it really just grips through with sensuality throughout the rate. And she did an amazing read as well. So fantastic job, Stelina. Thank you for sharing. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, yes, it was wonderful, as ever. Stelina, absolutely marvelous. there's not one stanza that I could pick out, I don't think. Your voice was beautifully dulcet and sweet and also sensual, which really brings this poetry to life. I did like the first stanza. Round midnight, I lie, my arms missing you. That's lovely, my arms missing you. Naked and abandoned, I yearn to be yours. A sultry sax choking my senses, honey-toned, speaking to me of love, like your deep, husky voice. Oh, that just sets it up. You know, we know where exactly. But yes, thank you so much. I really enjoyed it. The music was great. Your read was wonderful, and thank you for sharing.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Bobby, what did you think?
I enjoy Stellina's work. She's a very skilled writer. I mean, I don't care what direction she takes her work. She has quite the gift for words and for vocabulary and for storytelling. And she has reminded us that, you know, when you say love and passion, people think that passion is red. But she's reminded us that passion also has the coolness of blue. And how sometimes, again, with Weaver's poem, Less Being More, the midnight blue vibes of vulnerability, the delicious dreams of your paradiso passion, the subtlety of her verse, it dances like a butterfly across a meadow of wildflowers. Touching lightly and moving. Quite sensual, quite enjoyable, and her SoundCloud, a vivid reminder of what Pam and Phil always say, that having an author read their work in their own voice is incomparable. There's nothing like it.
Beautiful comment, Bobby. Thank you. All right, Weaver, I posted the next poem by Hope's Soul, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Yes, certainly. I've got it. Oh, my goodness, I've actually got it. Could you give me just 1 second? A sip of water will help my voice. Sorry. I'm having real problems. Same visitor. I'm not ready to fight you or fuck you, not even wanting to make love to you. I'm not here for it, not wanting to listen or string together regions, not ready to kill you or kiss you. Soft times in bed where sanity lost its head. This means I haven't been ready to face you, have those eyes stare and examine, coughing up trauma behind charcoal-tipped filters, peeling back tourniquets, to occupy the time or two since there's hours to waste on me. It's just too hard right now to reason with you, chase the spectres that kept you awake at night, which brings you here to my door at this hour on a day I wasn't thinking about us. I don't want to talk or breathe the air. Is this rude of me that your presence makes me uncomfortable? Hangman's noose, necktie, same old. Same old. Leave your message at the door. My voicemail is always full. I've changed my number each time. Paranoia's tempted, maybe. I'm mad or even content. Perhaps still running. Who knows? Lord knows I don't. All I do know is, when I see that beard in my peephole, my stomach turns. I forget what it was that I was doing. My hands strayed on the deadbolt. But I just don't bolt out into your arms. Well, I'll either cry or scream, pout or grin. I just don't know. All I do know is that I'd be lost again. So I just don't. End poem.
Wow. Beautiful read. And that's such a heart-wrenching poem, you know. When we fall out of love with somebody, you know, and we're still kind of in love with them, and they show up at our door unannounced, surprising us and carrying us off into these memories of traumas past. And, you know, she really wrote this quite beautifully in her artistic flair. But, you know, I thought it captures the essence of losing the oomph in a relationship and then dealing with the aftermath of that. So, a wonderful write and a powerful read as well, Weaver. Bobby, what did you think?
So I think this is a very generous write, and I'll tell you why. Hope's Soul has not only shown us her emotions, she has allowed us to step into her emotions and inhabit them with her. I mean, it means I haven't been ready to face you, have those eyes stare and examine, coughing up trauma behind charcoal-tipped filters, peeling back tourniquets to occupy the time or two since there's hours to waste on me. I mean, there is a bare soul right here. This is a very visceral right. It's powerful and so artfully done. It is... I'm going to chuck this one away again in my favorites, and I think I'm going to throw this one at FPP too. And I can go weeks without throwing anything at FPP, and there are some nights where I'll throw half a dozen of them out there because it's like feast or famine. But this is just an absolutely stunning rite. I mean, and she takes you all the way to the end where she says, all I know is that when I see that beard in my peephole and I share her weakness for facial hair, my stomach turns. I forget what it was like, what I was doing. My hand strays to the deadbolt just so they don't bolt out into your arms. We'll either cry or scream, pout or grin. I just don't know. All I know is that I'd be lost again, so I just don't. And just the agony of indecision, knowing what's right, what's good, and it reminds me of a statement I heard one time in a film that left a lasting impression on me, when a young woman was talking to her mother, and the woman had left home to stay with her grandmother because the woman's stepfather, this young woman, early 20s, the woman's stepfather was attempting to molest her, was attempting to sexually assault her. And so she ran from her mother's home. And this man that the mother had chosen to be with. And when the mother finally went to try and collect her daughter from the grandmother's home, they're having a confrontation, and it was very soulful. The woman, the young girl, says, she says, "Well, if you knew he was like that," she said, "if you suspected he was like that, why did you let it happen?" And the mother, it said something I will never forget, because it crosses so many situations in our lives. And if you think about it, you find an application for it in your own. The mother says, "Because sometimes it is easier to believe what we need than what we know." And I never forgot that. And here's this poem. Here's this poet agonizing. She's struggling between what she believes, what she knows, and what she needs. And it is so beautifully said.
Right. Wow. Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. That was a tragic story.
That's a happy ending. The mother kicks the shit out of the stepfather.
There you go.
Good.
Absolutely. I like that. All right.
I do too. But that statement was so revealing to me, because I had that situation in my own life with my relationship with my mother. It was one of those things where it was what I call magical thinking. You think, and I think we've all experienced a relationship where we think if we say or do just the right thing, we'll have the relationship with this individual that we've always wanted, knowing secretly that that's not happened, but it's what we need and not what we know. And when I heard that statement, it opened. It was my aha moment. It was a blinding aha moment. And it explained so much to me that it was almost staggering.
Wow. Well, thanks for sharing, Bobby. Appreciate it.
The power of the written word.
Yeah. I've got your write up now, Bobby, so I'm gonna play your SoundCloud.
Okay, dokie. Magnificent. Intellectual. Incendiary. I am beautiful. I know my own darkness, and that does not stop me from finding my light. Red sky at night, red sky in morning, darkness and light in eternal opposition, yin and yang,
darkness, the comforting refuge. Light, the blinding reality. Behold the magnificent intellectual incendiary. I want to set fire to the world and watch it burn so I can write poetry in the ashes and read my verses by the firelight. And poem.
Wow, that was a beautiful read, Bobby. And, you know, I really like the whole juxtaposition of the light and the darkness. You know, you've captured that quite beautifully in your poem and the need for that in our lives. You know, it's definitely, we are light and we are dark at the same time. And embracing our darkness allows us to chase the light. And I really liked your reference to the old Mariners rhyme, red sky at night, sailor's delight, red sky in the morning, sailor's warning. You know, you really captured that quite beautifully as well. But, you know, it's a very short poem for you, Bobby. But you really had a lot to say in those words that you've written. So beautiful job.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And what did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes, beautifully done, Bobby. It really is such a delightful piece of poetry. I love that first stanza. I am beautiful. I know my own darkness. And that does not stop me from finding my light. Yeah, that's true, because we can dwell too much on the bad or the dark side of ourselves and forget that, you know, there are parts of us that are going to be light for eternity, which is great. It can balance. You just need a little bit more balance towards the light than the darkness, definitely. But I thought it was that, yeah. And this particular line, behold the magnificent intellectual incendiary. I want to set fire to the world. Did I say that last word correctly? Incendiaries,
yes.
Yes, yes. I hate when I pronounce things wrongly. So I thought you did a beautiful job. It was compact, but it was full of feeling. It wasn't just, I'm writing this and making sure I keep it short. This is everything you wanted to say was there. You didn't need any more words. You did it so well. So thank you for sharing that with us, my dear.
Thank you. I wrote this in response to a contest by Faziana, and she had two prompts, and the one prompt I wrote to was the second prompt. And the second prompt says, you're beautiful because you know your own darkness, and still that doesn't stop you from finding your light. And I started with that, but then thinking in terms of aphasia and babbler to co-hosted, but I was thinking the way aphasiana tends to think about her poetry. And so I tried something that I try and reach out of my comfort zones from time to time, especially depending upon who the host of the contest is. And I know aphasiana delights in abstractions. And so I tried to reach into my abstractions and to be as abstract, especially in the second or the third stanza, as I possibly could. I was looking for something that was both destructive and magnificent at the same time, kind of like Nero burning Rome. And so that's why I said I want to set fire to the world and watch it burn so I can write poetry in the ashes and read my verses by the firelight. And that's what I was looking for in that last stanza. I was trying to go as abstract as I possibly could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find that hard myself, I must admit. But thank
I do
you
too.
For that. Thank
yeah,
you
but that's what I was trying to go with that, and I was pleased with it when it was done because it gave me the feeling and the message that I wanted to deliver.
Mm-hmm. Well, well done. I can't say that. I can't say it enough. Very well done.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wonderful comment. All right. So
thank
I'm
you.
Posting the next poem into the group. And this one has four poems. So I'm only going to read one of them. Just to save time. But this is called Anthology of Poems Inspired by an Obsessed Admirer. It says, in brackets, my obsessed admirer inspired so many poems, inspired many poems, which I'll put on one page, so there's more than one poem below. I'm soft-hearted, but firm. Poem one. Her hubby, despite their marriage of 20 years, still loves her perfectly, expertly, both verbally and physically, when he isn't raging or raving. Ben had come on her scene again, an admirer who also created as if a void and filled it with his love letters and poetry. But whenever an admirer creates love's vacuums in her love life that was non-existent before, she has always managed to brush it aside with chastity's vacuum cleaner, LOL, where she sweeps it under the rug. She can't get stuck in the dirt of the flirt. Only marital love can sweep me off my feet. His poetic charm created in her love's poetry chasm as she tried a while to be a balm to his obsession spasm. Yet her wedlock is a high-walled fortress, even if she's no crowned royal princess. So while her stubby still bills and coos in love, this admirer inked her his belay do. What a batter. What a rue. She's soft-hearted, but not towards soft porn. Thank God it's over. Phew. Well, that's a heck of an intro into her storyline, and really carries you into the mindset of somebody who's being admired as they're in a relationship of marriage. I thought it was well written and a pleasure to read. And what did you think, Bobby?
You got me racing ahead to see what else was there. I found it very interesting. The language is very colloquial, very offhand. There's a sense of you feel that there's a sense of desperation there that is trying to that the author or the speaker is trying to dismiss. They notice it, but they want to pay it no heed. You know, it's not of consequence, but it is, because if it weren't, then they wouldn't be their attention wouldn't be drawn to it, and that there's this tug of war going on. And between what is tantalizing and titillating and what is acceptable. And I like this tug of war. It's written very entertainingly, like I said, very colloquially. I like the chest that he's vacuum cleaner gave me a chuckle. I thought that was a very clever turn of phrase. And she can't get stuck in the dirt of the flirt. Only marital love can sweep me off my feet. And that's what we tell ourselves. You've cleaved to some, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. You know, we are all walking hormones with legs. So this is nicely done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, I thought that comment you just made, Bobby, was wonderful. Hormones with, was it hormones? Walking hormones with feet. Brilliant.
With legs, yeah.
Yeah. Let me just get back to what I was there. We are. No, so we have more to come. That's interesting. Yes, this is beautifully written. I like, it's so true to life. It's so relatable. Her husband, despite their marriage of 20 years, still loves her perfectly, expertly. Oh, she's bragging now, both verbally and physically, when he isn't raging or raving. Excuse me. Yeah, that is just so typical. And you get that deeply into a marriage where you finish each other's sentences and you can be nasty to each other. Sometimes arguments people have, they say some dreadful things, but it's forgotten because the love is there. So you forgive each other for whatever that is. But now she's saying, of course, that much as she wants to be a good wife, there are people who are sending her little notes and love letters and poetry. You can't help but get your head turned. No matter how wonderful you are and how deeply in love or how much you care for your partner, that's just, you know, it's an aphrodisiac. It makes you feel wonderful. So, yes, there's so much in it. I'm going to stop talking now. But thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Zed. A relationship is like a comfortable frock. You know when you put it on exactly how it's going to feel, where it's going to fit, and yet that new frock always catches your eye.
Oh, yes.
And you always want to try it on to see if it looks as good on you as it does on the hanger.
Yeah, definitely.
It's always that temptation.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Weaver, I'm posting another poem here for Nuno Cardoso, if you wouldn't mind reading that, please.
Yes, of course, happy to. Well, I guess you can tell the panic in my voice. He's not there.
Yeah.
I'll be there in just a second, I hope. Come on. I think I'm going to start using my laptop. I'm afraid this PC is just getting too old and curmudgeonly. Ah, we got it. You know, oh yes, lovely, got it. Part of me, part machine. Part of me, part machine. You pick apart the heavy machinery pumping steam inside my chest. On the left side of the cage, listen. Tic-tac, thump, thump, clunk, clunk. Turn the cogs that make this hunk of junk work. Yick, true to the choo-choo, woo-woo. Choo-choo, huff, huff, huff. Ah. Oh, that blackberry and smudge old face that sends chills down the metal chain that allows this machine to stand on its feet. You're not just the repair lady. You cause goosebumps on metal skin. Yo. Take me to new heights when the tinker overheats and smoulders the walls around it. Throw buckets of flower water on it. Smelt me into better tomorrow, lady of the berry. Quiet thunder of the thinker thanker. Arifafafafafa. Put another cigarette between my bolt-like teeth. Clank, clank. Choo, 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 choo. You, 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 you. Light it up with your voluptuous lips, maiden mist. Thank a plunk of antichuchitanta. And I'm not going to make that noise. Take this gear out of my hard head. Part machine, part biomechanic, can't bleed. Keep walk, boomerang, flock, around the clock. Unpunt it, unit, ba, be, beep, ba. Nighty, night, night, night. End poem.
Great read. And I liked his author's notes. He says, not experimental at all. And then it's in his description, he's got love, marriage, cogs, experimental. And so that was great. And I really enjoyed it. You know, it really captures the essence of being a robot in, you know, a man. And I enjoyed it, you know. The crazy sounds that were made by Weaver in this write was very effective in its charming, you know, nature, capturing the essence of the robot and Nuno. And I really like Hope Soul's comment to him. It says, how dare you be this brilliant? And they say Autorank doesn't like experimental rights. He replied. And she says, give me your brain. I enjoyed that. That was great banter between the two of them. I enjoyed that a lot. Well done. Thank you very much for reading that, Weaver, and for sharing that, Nuno. What did you think, Bobby?
I was reminded, and this, I'm going to give my age away here, I was reminded of the song from the album by Styx, Kilroy Was Here, released in 1983, the song Mr. Roboto. And that's what it reminded me of immediately when I saw the illustration and then all the little noises. And I thought how fun that the poet was playing havoc. He was playing hob with Autorank, which I thought was delightful. And then it subscribes to my favorite axiom, which is when they give you lined paper right in the other direction. So, you know, anything that has that kind of tight constraint to it, I like to fly in the face of it. But it reminded me of the song Mr. Roboto, which is, except it's with Mr. Roboto, he's trying to escape, and this one's trying to experience love. So it's interesting in that the personification of the mechanical man, but it still had the essence of humanity tied to it.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks so much for sharing
good
that,
song,
Bobby.
By the way, if you haven't listened to it in a while, it's a great song.
Yeah, absolutely. And Weaver, what did you think of the poem that you read?
It was amazing. Very, very clever. I did enjoy it. I think I might have enjoyed it more if somebody else was reading it. I don't think I threw myself into it quite as much as I could have done.
I'll throw my volunteer hat in the ring from now on, Gray. If I'm on and you get anything weird come across the screen like this, I'll take it.
I enjoyed it once I got past the embarrassment. It's just a lady of my age who doesn't expect to go turn the cogs that make this hunk of junk work. Eek!
Yeah.
You know, it was unexpected.
As my Irish friend says, go on with you now.
How are we, you know? Yes, I thought it was, as usual, beautiful, beautifully written. Bobby's having a great time. Bobby, what are you doing? Why are you laughing? What is going on over there?
Me? Oh. I'm having fun. Why? We're
missing
that on the script.
I love it.
And
I'm
eating chocolate.
Yes, I have to say, as usual, beautifully done. I love the fact that it's unexpected. So thank you. Thank you very much for that, Nuno.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. Okay, Bobby, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind reading, please.
Is that any weird noises?
No.
Oh, no. I'll make them for you. I'll make you some good noises.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay, we have Did I Ever Tell You by Teresa Streshenkov. Good Irish name. Okay. Did I ever tell you just how much you mean to me? Best friends and lovers, we came to be. From I to we, doing you see. My world, my life, my whole universe. Even though we are diverse, I can tell you and tell you till I'm blue in the face, your love for me I must embrace. From now until forevermore, you never make my life a bore. End poem. Lovely.
Absolutely. That was a wonderful read, Bobby. And I enjoyed the poem. You know, it really speaks to the connection that she has with this person that she's speaking to, and the love that she feels for him and for them. But, you know, my world, my life, my whole universe, even though we are diverse, I can tell you till I'm blue in the face, your love for me I must embrace. Now until forevermore, you'll never make my life a bore, which is a beautiful sentiment. And I enjoyed the write and the read, Bobby. What did you think, Katie?
It was so lovely, wasn't it? And that was beautifully read, Bobby. It was really well done. But yes, this is just so sweet. I like this kind of sugary sweetness because we have so much that is just awful. So something like this just makes you think, oh, that's so cute. Best friends and lovers, we came to be from I to we, doing you see. That last stanza just tells you everything that she feels, or he feels, I'm not sure. Your love for me I must embrace from now until forevermore. You never make my life a bore. Now, you couldn't say anything nicer than that, could you? Lovely. Beautifully done. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. And Bobby, you read it. What did you think?
I thought that was a delightfully colloquial declaration of love that was elegant in its simplicity.
Wow, that was a beautiful comment, Bobby. You must be a professional commenter. You did wonderful.
Yeah. I haven't been paid enough, though.
No, exactly. All right, so I've got the next write-up. This is called Doubting Thomas by Gronwy. Found in a shriven, salted, wounded faith, to this doubting failure, escaping into sleep, taking comfort from horrors of nightmares and nights of eagle pulsing through the veins, seeking out stolen prayers and revelations of redemptions, final closing eyes, visions of horsemen, ghost riders of the skies, leaving fire and brimstone, footprints of lies, galloping through a tapestry town of life, the zone of life, a tableau of predictions for the last of days, demolishing my tower of history in drowning tidal waves, washing clean the guilty shore, awaiting heaven's call to rise again, fleeing the devil's ire as an angel in disguise, a risen atheist who sold the face of God in an orgy of angel wings, buying belief with relics of bones from catacombs of faith, hidden in inquisitions behind masks of doubt, written by written prohibitos of truth and poem. Well, that was definitely a thought-provoking, right? You know, it really has powerful, strong words that, capture the emotion of this, right? It's filled with stunning imagery, and I thought it was powerful, right? What did you think, Bobby? Weaver?
Yes. First of all, the title. Such a good title. A Doubting Thomas. So this is powerful. This has got a lot of message behind it. Somebody who really thinks deeply about this particular situation in life. This found in a shriven, salted, wounded faith, left in this doubting failure, escaping into sleep, taking comfort from horrors of nightmares and nights of ego pulsing through the veins. Yes, this is a person who's ravaged with doubt, worries, wants answers to the questions that they have, which they're not going to get, I'm afraid, not in this lifetime. So, yes, I thought it was beautifully written. Fleeing the devil's ire as an angel in disguise, a risen atheist who sold the face of God. Yeah, that is definitely somebody who's having trouble, having a lot of worry. Poor person. So, yes, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing.
Excellent comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
This is really complex, right? But I'm not surprised considering the author. His work is very oft very cerebral and very deep. And this has a very classic feel to it, almost like Tennyson or Yeats. I mean, it is very the vocabulary is classic. The form is classic. The metaphor, deriving the metaphor, ghost riders of the sky, visions of horsemen, leaving fire and brimstone hoofprints of lies, galloping through a tapestry, zone of life, a tableau of predictions for the last of days. I mean, that is just, this is superb writing. When I said there's it'll go for weeks where I won't find anything that I want to keep, and now here's like the third or fourth one this evening, and I'm going to throw this at FPPs too. I wish I had written this. This is just an incredibly good. I mean, good doesn't suffice, but it's a complex piece. It is skillfully written. It is artfully written. It is elegant. In its language, in its construction, in its vocabulary, just all over another absolutely stellar piece.
I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, Weaver, I've got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Yes, of course. I will be with you momentarily. it's the anticipation. That's what I love. I'm the teetering on the edge of panic. I love it. And I also like the musical background. Oh, my God. I've got it. I just can't open the thing. Oh, my goodness me. Why do you do this to me? Oh, why? I know what it is. It's a walking... Ah, good. I was going to start making it up myself. It was taking so long. A walking installation. You're so novel. You are the latest sensation. You breathe art. You're a walking installation. Dodging the ordinary for a different situation. Shooting from the hip. A controversial revelation. I like the look of you and the rules you're bending. A throwback to the 60s leaves a pickup pending. It's difficult to fathom all the messages you're sending. Words flow out of you like a massage, happy ending. Life now, in this new age of rage, leaves some out. They try to cancel you and what your opinion's about. Anyone who can write gets a chance to shout, but life experience manifests in instinct and clout. You hold firm to deep beliefs but keep an open mind, doing your best to live life by your own chosen signs. Agendas at play by the establishment are too unkind, but their clock keeps on ticking and there is no rewind. End poem.
Fantastic read, Weaver, and I enjoyed the poem. I really liked its, you know, its relevance of today, and you know, where life is now this new age of rage, leave some out when they try to cancel you and what your opinion's about. Anyone who can write gets their chance to shout, but life experience manifests in instinct and clout. Yeah, a powerful poem on the subject of being canceled today and how your thoughts can be overtaken and shut off by society. And I really enjoyed it a lot. I like how deep it is, and, you know, it really is a beautiful pen. So well done. Thank you, Leap and Amsterdam, for sharing. And, Bobby, what did you think?
This is a very skillful write. The rhyming pattern is very artfully done. It has a nice cadence to it. There's some evidence, some very good assonance in the last stanza. I'm always, like I said, I always like to point out assonance because it's very common in song lyrics, but not as common in poetry. I think we find ourselves in lockstep with rhyming words. But this is, and the message is very interesting. You hold firm to deep beliefs, but keep an open mind, doing your best to live life by your own chosen signs. Agendas at play by the establishment are too unkind, but their clock keeps on ticking and there's no rewind. That last stanza is stunning. I mean, that is just, I know Weaver's fondness for the closing stanzas. I mean, you've got to admit that one is a corker.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Weaver, you read it. What did you think?
Yes, it was. That last stanza was wonderful. I think it was all so... Again, you see, it's the cleanness. It's the tightness. It flows, it moves without any... You know, again, if you have to stumble or think about a word too long, it spoils the flow. So I like these kind of pieces of poetry where nothing... It's all original and it's all wonderful, but nothing is a great surprise. The words are in the place those words should be, which I think is half the battle when you're trying to make something readable for somebody else. And it's okay if you're only writing for yourself. You know what you meant, but you need to make it, you know, that little bit clearer for the person that's trying to understand what you're writing about. But I thought it was brilliant. I love that first stanza too. Leads you to think that you've got, you know, oh, this is a catwalk model, or this is somebody who spending too much money on designer bags. But it's not that at all. That's what I loved about it. It completely took me by surprise. It's not about a walking installation. So, yes, I enjoyed it thoroughly. Thank you so much for sharing.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And, Bobby, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind reading that, please.
Dokie. Let's see. We have A Silent Shore of Poetry. Whoops, come on. My cursor apparently is, there we go, Come on, cursor. There we go. Thank you. Okay. A Silent Shore of Poetry by Lowell. From the picture, a very young poet. Beneath her words of poetry, beneath her words of poetry lay every tear she cried, the hurt once felt, lost innocence, such heartache locked inside, and every word of every truth would sigh as it lay bare the melancholy she had known and often tried to share. But ink would bleed to smudge, indeed, as even more tears ran. A stream of sadness filled the page no sooner. She began the bluest ink would drown and sink and seep through open pores to wash away the hurt relayed, to paint a silent shore. A silent shore of poetry where all words softly kissed through indigo and cyan hues. No shade of blue was missed. The final tear to fall that day would land on paper soaked, and there amongst a pale blue sky the brightest sun had poked. The picture hung for many years, concealing sad content, till over time the ink would fade to leave a slight indent. And there amidst the dust and rust, the clutter to impede the saddest poem ever found and ever left to read. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And I liked it. You know, it's touching. You know, it really speaks to the art of the poet pulling from themselves and putting it onto the page. And but I really like the bluest ink would drown and sink and seep through open pores to wash away the hurt relayed to paint a silent shore. You know, you're getting out what you need to say, and it relieves you in a calm and peaceful place. And then the ending was just fantastic as well. The picture hung for many years, concealing sad content, till over time the ink would fade to leave a slight indent. And there amidst the dust and rust, the clutter to impede the saddest poem ever found and ever left to read. Just beautiful. And her contest is called "Was Rust and Dust" by Nunavuteria. And beautiful, right? You know, I thought she captured the art of the piece quite beautifully in her words, and the art of poetry as well. So beautiful read, Bobby, and an excellent write role. Wow. Just epic. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, I love the picture for a start. You're sort of pulled right into it, and I can see why this piece of particular poetry was lending itself to that. Beneath her words of poetry lay every tear she cried. The hurt once felt, lost innocence, such heartache locked inside. Yeah. In every life there is pain and heartache, but it's lovely to be able to write it out like this and so cathartic. But yes, I thought it was very well written, hung together so beautifully. I don't even think that's a particularly interesting comment, hung together, but you know what I mean. So yes, thank you so much for sharing. It was lovely. Oh my. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Goodbye.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Bobby, you read it. What did you think?
Thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a very easy read. The storytelling was very clear. The emotion just rose off the page. I mean, you could feel the melancholy in it, as though they were trying to find some saving grace for the sorrow felt in life. And they immortalized it in the poem. And I agree, the ending was just absolutely spectacular. I think this is a very elegant piece of writing and well deserved of the gold. I noticed that the last one, Garoni, Doubting Thomas, was also a gold. So you had some absolutely spectacular poetry this evening.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, so I've got the next poem up. This is by Rhonda Isori, and it's called Stupendous Spectacle. The freezing sky kneels, ruffling flimsy, milky snow from her hair and whipping delicious scoops of creamy coconut ice cream. Hail against landscape's face. Tickling, fluffy frost seeps through trees' diaphanous nightgowns that enjoyed a cheerful frolic evening with a smiley, glistening lake lit by the last golden rays of sun's fireplace. Not caring about the chilly, cold day, sensation galloped quickly through winter's lush, embellished mansions, never ceases to marvel at his staggering paintings. Stress nestling in mind's cracks and crevices is shoveled, crunched under elation's showering feet and forced pack for evacuation. End poem. Wow. And that was written on January 6th. And, you know, this one won a silver in its contest. So, you know, you can see why it won a silver. It really is heartfelt and inspiring in its beauty. She captured the scene quite brilliantly. Oh, this has actually won many awards, gold and silver. And, well, this has been in a lot of contests, but, you know, yeah, I mean, it's got 121 likes on it. So a beautiful job, Rhonda. And what did you think, Katie?
Oh, hello. Yes, it was beautifully written, wasn't it? again, we have that lovely bass stanza, and you can actually feel it. Stress nestling in mind's cracks and crevices is shoveled, crunched under elation's showering feet and forced to pack for the evacuation. Yes, that brings everything together beautifully at the end. I thought it was lovely. I thought, you know, the picture was great. And talking of milky snow and creamy coconut together, wonderful. So, yes, I enjoyed it very much. I have to turn the central heating up, a bit chilled. It was lovely. Thank you so much.
Beautiful comment. Thank you, thank you, Weaver. And Bobby, what did you think?
I like the personification of the scenes and nature. Freezing sky kneels, ruffling flimsy, milky snow from her hair and whipping delicious scoops of creamy coconut ice cream hail against landscape's face, tickling fluffy frost. And as she speaks of sun's fireplace, and went through winter's lush, embellished mansion. So she's had a good time with creating a different persona for the seasons, which I think I've always enjoyed that particular flight of fantasy. I'm actually particularly jealous because what we had this year can't really be called snow. It was more like a joke or an afterthought. And I woke up and saw white for about maybe 45 minutes, and it all melted. And I've got weeds growing up in the pathway of my walkway, or in the cracks of my walkway in January, and my daffodils are freaking blooming. This is ridiculous.
Wow. Yeah, we're just getting a dump.
My hyacinths are breaking ground. This is ridiculous. You know, I like, I'm from Chicago. I like at least one good hard freeze for one, and that I feel as though I've experienced winter. We didn't have winter. We just had fall and went straight into spring. It's ridiculous.
Right.
so looking at a picture like this, it makes me nostalgic.
Yeah, well, we're just in the middle of receiving about a foot of snow right now, so I'd like to have some weather.
Oh, I would love that.
But I'd like to thank the ladies for calling in to share your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time tonight. I wish you a wonderful night and morning in your case, Weaver. But, thank you for calling in to share your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. Much
yes,
love.
Yes, and I like, her bio photo. She looks like she's lost 10 years. I want to know your secret.
Yeah.
My secret is I only have 3 pictures of myself. I have nothing else. I don't...
There it is.
I hate pictures of myself. So that was found down the back of the crack in the sofa.
This one's very, very flattering. I like it.
Thank you.
Good night, Grey Eyes. Thank you for letting me play along.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Thank you, Grey.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, my dear.
Bye-bye,
Bobby. Oh, thanks.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, my dears. Good night, Bobby.
Good night,
Grey.